Plus, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. There may be signs the downward track of inflation is stalling, but that's not stopping Americans from buying this holiday season.
We've really seen some strong growth. We've seen just over 9% year-on-year growth.
Vivek Pandia of Adobe Analytics. If you're parking at an airport for holiday travel, beware. Many are finding car thefts are on the rise. CBS's Nicole Valdez.
We know it's not just happening. Atlanta, other major airports, including Denver International and Dallas, also seeing a pretty big uptick over the last few years in car thefts at the airport.
Donald Trump continues to fill out his team, as Katrina Kaufman reports.
Jamison Greer, as the U.S. trade rep, he was involved in Trump's first administration and would have a crucial role in implementing these tariffs that Trump has announced, most recently against Mexico, Canada, and China.
Trump has also named retired General Keith Kellogg to be his Ukraine envoy. CBS News Brief. I'm Cammy McCormick.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. A vehicle speeding through the town of Saratoga results in charges against two people for intent to deliver THC and meth. Wood County Sheriff's deputies stopped the vehicle for speeding earlier this week. During the following investigation, they seized over 230 grams of marijuana and more than 11 grams of methamphetamine and arrested the two occupants of the vehicle. They're expected to face charges of possession with intent to deliver. Whooping cough continues to spread here in Wisconsin. We're seeing a spike here this year, and state health officials want people to be safe this Thanksgiving. Savannah Tome Olson reports.
Almost 1,900 people have tested positive for pertussis or whooping cough here in Wisconsin this year. It starts out feeling like the average cold that can make it tough to know when you have it. Anybody can catch it at any age, but it can be particularly dangerous for babies and people with compromised immune systems. 76 Wisconsin babies have been hospitalized so far this year. Right now, lots of young people are getting it. Half of all the cases here in the Badger State have been in kids ages 11 to 18. It's called whooping cough because of the sound people often make when they have it. But health officials say teens and adults typically don't present with that telltale cough, and some young kids may not do it either. Of course, nobody wants to be left out of holiday festivities, but staff from the Department of Health Services say stay home if you're sick.
Sections of Grand Avenue and 2nd Street South will be closed this evening for the Rekindle the Spirit Parade in Wisconsin Rapids. Grand Avenue will close between West Jackson Street and Lincoln Street starting at 4 p.m. 2nd Street South will be closed between Oak Street and East Grand Avenue. Traffic will be detoured on Jackson Street. All streets are expected to reopen at 8 p.m. The bridge lighting ceremony is at 5:25 and the parade starts at 5:45. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Bucks get the win without Giannis. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Just before the game, the Bucks learned that Giannis Antetokounmpo could not go due to swelling in his left knee. The Bucks still managed to win 106-103 over the Miami Heat. Center Brooke Lopez and how Damian Lillard led the Bucks with 37 points and 12 assists.
Yeah, he was clearly locked in, you know, and it definitely gave everyone something to follow. He was such a great leader out there, and you know, we all played off him.
NFL, the Packers may be shorthanded at linebacker. When they play the Dolphins tomorrow night at Lambeau Field, Isaiah McDuffie and rookie Edgerrin Cooper unable to practice. Defensive coordinator Jeff Hafley asked, how did linebacker Quay Walker perform Sunday night against the 49ers?
I thought Quay played his best game. I was really proud of him, and it was really cool to see. I think if you ask Quay the week before, I think he would tell you he didn't play his best game. The way he responded and the way he practiced, it was like he was on a mission last week.
That's Packers coach Jeff Hafley with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A cloudy sky tonight, couple of flurries and a low near 20. And more clouds around for tomorrow, scattered flurries and a high in the mid-20s. Colder with sunshine Friday, high only near 20. Staying cold for the weekend, even with sunshine, highs only in the low 20s. It's 24 right now.
Bringing a house of pain.
Backside pressure. Down he goes. Inside the 30-yard line.
To a game day near you.
Picked off. by Wisconsin, and the Badgers win it.
That's how you create a program. That's how you create a team.
Join us Friday. The Badgers battle the Gophers for Paul Bunyan's axe. Our coverage begins at 9 a.m. on your home for Wisconsin football.
Here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trigvi Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project.
We as individuals need to be far better in terms of getting the tools we need to have the conversations. You're never going to shame someone out of their political beliefs.
Yes.
You're never going to get them with talking points.
You nailed it. And I think that that's what some of our friends on the left don't get. And I think it's destructive and it's not beneficial.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
Thursday morning, we'll replay our visit with dairy farmer Hans Breitenmoser about how Trump's mass deportations would hammer the U.S. food supply.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Wednesday, November 27th, 2024. I have your host, James J. Maloff, here. In part two today, we're going to talk to our friends at the ODC. We've got Lisa and Maddie in with us. We'll see if David's able to stop by, too, talk Milkweed Market and some other fun things with our friends at the ODC. Right now, we have Wood County Board Supervisor Lance Plimlin with us. Lance, always good to have you with us. Thanks for the time.
Thanks, James. Always a pleasure to be here.
And you brought in Wood County Rescue Squad Officer Mike Weiberg here. Mike, thank you for being here again.
Thank you for having me.
It's been a while. Good to see you, man. Thanks for being here.
It's been a while, about a year.
First off, I want to thank both of you for everything you put into our community. Thank you so much for that. And Lance had the idea to bring in Mike to put some focus on this, and I really do appreciate that, Lance.
Yeah, you know, this is it's important, the work that they do. Mike directs our rescue squad, that whole entire group. He handles generally the budget, the fundraising, and everything we do. And I always refer to Mike kind of as, you know, our version of a Navy SEAL, you know, that's sea, air, and land. And he does it all. If you need somebody to fly a jet, guy sitting next to me, I'm serious. Need somebody to dive, he's here. And then obviously the stuff he does on land. In fact, I think the first time I met you, Mike, was not I knew you previously, but you guys were in the middle of a water rescue that turned into recovery out of Lake NEPCO. Yes. And you threw me the keys to his house and said, go get some more air tanks. So I'm going, now I know he's on land, below water, and I know he flies. So the rescue squad, though, provides a tremendous service to the community. And, you know, the amount of incidents they respond to and the fact that they're all volunteers, I wanted to make sure that people knew what we do and how we fundraise for those opportunities.
Yeah, and Mike, I could spend the next hour just talking to you about you, man. I would love to do that. I think I mentioned that the last time you were in, that I'd love to be able to do that sometime. So that's another show. We're doing that show someday, sir. But I'd say that in a little bit of jest, but also some truth to that. I mean, the things that you have put into your life, you've put into this community and into this program. And I greatly appreciate that. And the community is better for it. But for those that may not know, Mike, what Wood County Rescue Squad is. Lance gave us a bit of a breakdown of it. Could you give us a little more? It is made up of volunteers. It is an integral part of our enforcement here.
Yes, it's a 100% volunteer organization. We don't get paid to be on scene or on call. The men and women on our group come from all walks of life, carpenters, police officers. I work full-time at Wapaka Foundry as a pilot. And we're trained in different areas. Some are sort of scuba divers. Some people specialize in boating. And it's just people that in their spare time give their time to come and, you know, they want to give back to the organization, give back to the community, and they like to help people in a time of need when they can't help themselves.
It's something that Sheriff Becker and I have talked about a couple of times, how integral this group is and how at times it can cover gray area. It can cover bases that aren't covered or help that isn't that, you know, could be used or something. But in more detail, Mike, could you tell us the kind of work that a day in the life, if you will, of what it is to be a part of the Wood County Rescue Squad?
Well, 90% of the time, 99% of the time, you're on call. Yeah. So I carry a pager with me and when things are going great, we can go a week or two and not have a call. Mm-hmm. You might have three calls in one day.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say 95% of our calls are vehicle accidents, either with injuries or unknown injuries. And we mostly focus on the outside of Wisconsin Rapids because obviously the city has a full-time fire department and they're capable of doing themselves. We have helped them on a couple calls in the city when it's, you know, they don't have enough personnel or they haven't called them in yet. So, but, and we do other stuff. We do, you know, special events. demos, missing persons, Project Lifesaver. We're really involved with Project Lifesaver. So there's a lot of different stuff. Sometimes we get called in to help out with traffic at a major fire. Volunteer fire department, say like Pittsville or something, doesn't have enough. You know, they're fighting the fire. Well, as they're running tankers back and forth, we might help control traffic if they're crossing, like, say, Highway 13 or something, running from one end to the other, filling tanks so they don't have to stop at the intersection. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, different things like that.
When you need that group, you need that group. I mean, extrication, you know, in an accident, those water rescues, those, you know, underwater events that occur, all of those. And, you know, it's just so important. When you see that truck, I think you mentioned, oftentimes you'll see the rescue truck. They're not out just showing off the truck as they're driving around town. Those people are in that truck or at their in their driveway 24/7. So if they have to stop at the store, if you see that truck at Walmart, it's probably there because they're on call 24/7.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Yes, that's correct. Somebody's using it as their personal vehicle, but they're donating their time to be on call. Yeah. They might not get a call that day, and I want them to go on with the rest, you know, with their normal duties and their lives. But if that pager goes off, you know, they're dumping, they're running out of Walmart or wherever. They're getting in their truck and they're going on a call. They might be gone for 20 minutes. They might be gone for 4 hours.
Appreciate that breakdown so much, Mike, of the examples that you gave us there, in part because it also explains why somebody like yourself is such a perfect fit for this. You're a man of many talents. You're a Renaissance man. You've got a number of different things that you excel at, and when something like this, you don't know what emergency you're going to need or what kind of person you're going to need for said emergency.
Sure.
You gave us a bunch of different examples that are a lot of different things. So being able to have people that are versatile and able to do certain stuff, I bring this up for one, to give credit to you and these volunteers, but to also one of the other parts of this conversation today is to encourage people to volunteer and be a part of this program. And I know that there are people out there listening that would be good candidates, that would be good volunteers for this. They may just not realize it. I think giving them examples of the kind of work that's done there is like, oh, wait a minute, I can do that, or I can help out with that. And maybe they're realizing they may be a good volunteer and didn't even know.
Right.
And we could certainly use more volunteers for this program.
Oh, can always use more volunteers. Yeah. And that's not just us. That's any department.
Yes.
Good note. All the volunteer fire departments, you know, in the county. I mean, we basically got two full paid on time or, you know, paid departments, Marshfield and Wisconsin Rapids. Mm-hmm. Everybody else is volunteer. So everybody is looking for volunteers, not just our rescue squad.
As long as we're on that point, Mike, when we're the kind of people we're looking for volunteers, again, to hopefully give some people out there an idea of, oh, I could maybe do this, or they know somebody that would make a good volunteer and they can mention it to them. Are there certain types of individuals we're looking for this? Anything in particular?
I think it's somebody that would just like to help out in their community. And we take anybody that's got any type of skill or maybe an interest, not even skill, and we would help train them. We paid for people to get their scuba diving license and to go further to get, you know, ice diving certification, advanced diving. It's just people that have a knack for something and they want to expand on it and donate their time to the community. I mean, like I said, we got people from all walks of life on our group, and not just our group, other groups also. And if you have an interest, you know, maybe you don't live here in Wisconsin Rapids or area, you might live up in the Marshfield area. Well, there's plenty of departments up there that are always looking for it.
Lance, how cool is that, to what Mike just said there about if you want to help and you want to be a part of the scuba diving program, being able to fund that so people can take that. That's I didn't know. I thought I did my homework pretty good for this interview. I did not know that. That is pretty cool.
Well, we keep some stuff from you just so you don't know everything. But, you know, no.
Keep it.
The members of the group are incredible. And the fact that they do this as volunteers goes above and beyond. And it's such an integral part of the community. And you don't know how much you need them until you need them. You know, even the special events they staff, you know, could be the state water ski tournament or some of the other largely attended events where they're on site is just incredible. And like I said, they do this with volunteer time, and we do have a rescue vehicle, and we're in the process of replacing that right now.
I want to get right to that. That's where I want to go right next.
It's an expensive proposition. Mm-hmm. You know, you're looking at, you know, you're pushing $500,000 to put one of these together. So we do a number of fundraisers within the community to help do that. And like I said, if everybody in the community kicked in $5, we'd have no problem.
No problem.
But we do fundraisers, and There you go. There's your segue.
Yes, yes. Let's dive right into that because, as you mentioned there, Lance, you are transitioning to a new emergency vehicle. Let's talk about that a little bit and what that new vehicle means for this community and for this this group.
Yes. Our last chassis is a 2010 International. And if you went on miles, it's probably got about 140,000 on it. But if you go by the hour meter, because we might go to a scene that runs for 8 hours, now it's got over 300,000. Yeah. It's starting to nickel and dime us. Mm-hmm. It's in the shop, you know, a lot. Then it goes for a stretch and it runs good. So we did a bunch of fundraising. We also had great help from the Legacy Foundation. They donated a big chunk of money. So we ordered a 2024 F600. We're actually going to downsize the chassis. The one we have now is fairly large. It's hard to get into people's driveways, you know, fairly heavy. So we're going to downsize the truck a little bit. And make it more simple. Four-wheel drive instead of chains, gas engine versus a diesel engine, and make it more economical. We already have the chassis. Then the Lions Club was gracious enough to let us store it. Stainless and Repair in Marshfield is going to build it. And all the money is staying right here in Wood County. Bought the truck at Rapids Ford, then it's going to Marshfield to get built. So keeping jobs and keeping money right here in Wood County.
That feels good. That's cool to hear. That's really good to hear. Feels good to hear.
So what fundraising effort you got going on right now?
Well, we're starting. We're going to gear up. We've done it 3 years in a row. We've done a monthly raffle, like a gun raffle. And that'll start up. We should probably have tickets before Christmas. You know, we'd like to hit up our family members when they're home.
Yep, good time.
And everybody else. And then I think the month, it'll be either March or April. I can't remember what month yet it's going to be. So then every day we do a drawing. And Dave Westfall and our rescue squad, a lot of people are just, they just like to watch us. He does a skit every night with his daughter to pull the ticket. And it's getting to be... he's getting a big following because he goes pretty far extremes.
Is that on your guys' Facebook page? People can see that?
Yes, it'd be on our Facebook page. It's always Facebook Live. That's part of the rules. You have to do it in a public location, and you have to do it at the same time every day. So that's one of the rules from the state. So, yeah, it's publicly viewed.
That's one way you can help out and be a part of this. And certainly there will be others, and we'll be certainly mentioning those, talking about them, promoting them, make sure you guys get good turnouts for these and good numbers for these, especially with the learning more and more, I think, our community, the importance of a group like this. Mm-hmm. I think it's already been known. I think it was established that, this is important, whether it was, some of the things that Sheriff Becker has said over the years or done, or just, you know, different news stories that have highlighted this organization or anything. It's been noticed, but I really tend to think that at this time of year, and as we get more and more into winter months and everything, it kicks in a little bit more for people how important having a group like this is, and having somebody that, whether they're covering bases that aren't covered or they're assisting with other organizations, other emergency services or anything like that, how important it is to have this. Lance touched on it before. You want that fire extinguisher there. You hope you never use it. You hope you never have to break the glass, but you feel darn good knowing it's there. And it's like that. That's a lot of part of life with an organization like this.
I'm also guessing, but everybody likes to win stuff. You know, me too.
Right.
But I'm guessing if somebody wanted to make a direct contribution, they could do that too by reaching out to the sheriff's department, probably directly. Yep.
And we do get those every once in a while. Somebody will just send in a check, and sometimes it's organizations. Sometimes it's somebody that was in an accident, and then they found out, well, who helped them. And anybody that wants to do that can just send a check made out to Wood County Sheriff's Rescue, and then you just send it to the Sheriff's Department. And we get it.
Yeah, you can never have enough of these kind of people or those kind of services. And, you know, when we do scenarios and different testing, I mean, you always want to stress the system until it breaks. Every system's going to break at some point. We want to have as much capability, as much redundancy as humanly possible, you know, within the realm of what we can afford within our county. But if you're in one of those situations where I have seen them out on the road because there's a, you know, multiple vehicle accident, the fire departments or the police departments are stressed to the limit, and then the cavalry shows up, you know, so to speak.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, they've got the individuals, they got the people, and they've got the equipment. And that's what we're striving to maintain in our county.
Before I wrap up the conversation, we will let you know how you can be a part of things, how you can donate, how you can invest, really, in our organization here on Wood County Rescue Squad. As we're wrapping up with you, Mike, a little bit here, because I got some stuff for Lance still. But when it comes to the... encouraging people to volunteer, encouraging people to do this. I think one of the greatest ways to do this is to hear from a local, to hear from somebody who has done it and done such incredible work with this for so long, like yourself, Mike. Why did you start doing this?
I started doing it, to be honest with you, as a resume builder. Sure. I was applying to be a full-time deputy. Uh-huh. I was already on the reserves. I went on to rescue, and then it's been just a long, I've been on it for now over 30 years.
30 years, man.
So, yeah. And did the full-time thing, and then I went into flying, and they kept me on, and I love it.
Yeah.
And matter of fact, if I go back in time, I could see myself maybe out in the mountains in Colorado on a rescue squad or something, you know, flying a helicopter or something.
I can see that. I can envision that too. But we're darn good to have you here. We're happy to have you here.
Thank you very much.
And we're not letting you go. You got to stay here.
Yeah,
you've already set your stone. But you're not underappreciated, sir. Because I've had conversations with many of our officers and Rapids here, our sheriff's department, and everything. There's a lot of appreciation for you and this organization. Appreciate the good work that you and these volunteers are putting in.
Yes.
And in a time like this, this time of year, thankful for you all. Really are. And we hope you have a very, very boring couple of days here. Just a very boring weekend. You got nothing going on.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
And thank you for being here, Mike. Appreciate the time.
Thank you for having me.
Again, before we wrap up, I'll let you know how you can find out more and be a part of the group if you'd like to, or donate to the group. But I did want to touch on just a couple of things and make Lance work a little bit here.
I thought I had an easy day.
I
brought Mike with.
We got so close. But the last couple of minutes, I did want to touch on the new jail coming up, Lance, and mention that and remind people that is right around the corner, that's going to be opening up. We're going to have a ribbon cutting for it and everything.
Yeah, you know, it's really remarkable. You know, rumors spread fast. You know, and I had heard some people in town the other day saying, you know, your jail's behind schedule, it's over budget, all kinds of problems. Our jail's ahead of schedule, it's under budget, and we have a ribbon cutting kind of open house. I hate to call it a grand opening for a jail. That sounds kind of
funny. Sounds weird. Yeah,
but,
it does. Yeah.
December 17th, right after our county board meeting, they're going to have some public tours of that facility. It's just a fantastic place. The facility's, it's immense. If you haven't been in it, I don't know if you've been in it, Mike. Mike's part of our sheriff's department.
Multiple times.
You know, it's easy to get lost in there. It'll allow us to provide some of the programming where we hope those people who are incarcerated come back into the community as productive members of society, and that we don't have the recidivism rates that we currently have. It provides, I think most importantly, some real safety for those people who work in the jail, the jailers we have there, those corrections officers. I mean, that is big. Our other jail was not conducive to that. So anyway, on schedule, on budget. Grand opening December
2nd. Yeah, I hadn't heard
grand
any
opening,
of that.
Ribbon cutting December 17th. We were approached by some office holders, you know, different levels of government within the county saying, we heard you have there's some financial issues going on. No, we're actually under budget. We are ahead of time. So, you know, and part of that's been weather. I mean, you think of last winter. We had a winter where they could virtually work every single day.
Yeah.
We weren't, you know, didn't have any of those snow days or delays. So everything's moving along, and it's been essentially done. You know, the real construction. I mean, there's some minor trim kind of things. There's electronic controls. Those types of things happen. And then, although we're going to have that ribbon cutting, you won't actually have inmates in there until probably February-ish.
Yeah.
And that's because all the certifications that have to occur with the Department of Corrections and all those other regulatory agencies as everything's tested.
Looking forward to this up and running, what it means for our community. I think, even for somebody like me, I'm on the other side of this than you guys are. I was a knucklehead. I know that building a little differently. Even for somebody like me and my talking to my dad, who is in a similar boat and everything, and have both kind of righted our ships here and stuff. But when we think about that jail, we're thinking about similar to what you said there, I'm sorry, Lance. One of the things that you said there about our officers, first and foremost, their safety. The clientele there as well deserves to be safe. And I think that part is very noteworthy, too, about this. We're talking safety. We're talking our community saving money. There are a lot of things to be excited about with this jail, even with the considering of what it is for and everything. And another thing that I did hear, I hadn't heard some of the stuff that you said about the chatter about the jail, but I have heard a little bit about a Newwood County Park. Let's wrap up on that. That sounds pretty cool, Lance.
Yeah, an opportunity came to the forefront a couple of months ago, and that involved the Sarah Park, you know, the Consolidated Employees Recreation Area up on the river. And due to some of the FERC regulations, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, you know, it has to remain open to the public to some extent. And they no longer have the either ability and or want to continue to run that. So they came to the county and said, what do you think about this becoming a county park? And it's an opportunity beyond belief because you've already got the campsites are there. You have roughly 3,000 feet of river frontage, which provides some capability there where, for instance, out at Lake Wasicha, it's a relatively small lake. You put a number of boats on it. Doesn't quite have the opportunity that the river might. So we're working on right now a memorandum of understanding with that group. We think that FERC approval will probably follow. And if everything went according to plans, there's a really good chance that is open as a county park this summer by May. So
that's working on that quick process. Turnaround for that.
Part of that has been our county's been really fiscally responsible with the ARPA dollars we got. Now, those are dollars, for those of you who don't know, that don't really exist, that Washington gave away to everybody. So they're going to have to print some money, but we did not go out and spend ours immediately. We worked on some of these infrastructure projects and some things where 20 years from now somebody can point to it and say, that's what the county did. Yeah. And so we're able to allocate some of those dollars for that, allocated to that process. And that's the hope, the dream, but I think you're going to see that come to fruition.
I'm going to be all locked in on this story because that's quite an opportunity for our community, for our city, and really for our entertainment, for our economy, a lot of different
layers.
That's really cool. That's very interesting to hear. Thank you for sharing that with us. Again, thank you both so much for the time today. There is so much more that we could have talked about and discussed. That's why you have to come back, Mike. You got to come back. I want to talk to you more, sir. And always looking forward to talking the next time we get to hang out, Lance. Thank you both again for the time. I want to let you know that you can go to woodcountywi.gov. That is one of the ways you can find out more about our Wood County Board Wood County Rescue Squad. You can find out more about that there. You can also find out ways to donate, to be a volunteer, to be a part of things over there. Mike, are there any other ways people can reach out and find out about the organization?
Well, like you said, the website, there's an application on the website underneath the Sheriff's Department, and there's different than icons like underneath the Sheriff's Department. You click on that.
Yeah.
You can call the office and the girl, you can go there and get one, or they will gladly mail you one.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the three ways.
Yeah. And want to remind everybody to like the Facebook page as well. It's a great way to keep up to date on not only what they're doing over there, but different raffles and volunteer or, fundraising opportunities and such. Any way you can be a part of things and help out our Wood County Rescue Squad. Greatly appreciate it. And I appreciate you guys and all the work you put into this community. Thank you again for the time today.
Well, thanks for having me.
Yeah. We'll talk again real soon with you guys, and we'll talk with you real soon on Midday Magazine coming up right here on 97.5 FM. 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
His name's Jeff Mandel, general counsel for Law Forward.
Mr. Gableman broke more ethics laws and rules than he followed. The attorney's oath here in Wisconsin is fairly long. Mr. Gableman had, in the course of the sham investigation into the 2020 election, violated every single sentence in that oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Zomers, are you a Netflix and chill guy?
Do you know what Netflix and chill means?
I thought it just meant watch something on Netflix together.
You say that's what you're going to do, but you're really having them over there for sex.
This is why nobody wants to come to my place anymore. I say, hey, you want to come over and have Netflix and chill? People keep saying, well, no, I don't think so. I'll take it back. And I just thought they were being rude.
I do have Netflix, though.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
97.5 FM WFHR would like to sincerely thank all of the sponsors who have helped keep Pet of the Week on air for all the animals at the Southwood County Humane Society. Thanks to this program, the shelter receives help, the community stays informed, and animals find their forever homes. If you would like to help and be a sponsor of the show, please call 715-496-0710. From everyone at WFHR, thank you for being a part of this great show, Thursdays at 9 a.m.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The Rekindle the Spirit Parade is tonight in Wisconsin Rapids. The festivities begins with Chatterbox Catering Food Truck at Veterans Memorial Park from 3:30 to 6:30. The Grand Avenue Bridge Lighting Ceremony and Ribbon Cutting will happen at 5:25 at Veterans Memorial Park. The parade will start at 5:45 and process down West Grand Avenue with vibrant floats, music, and giveaways. Santa and Mrs. Claus will grace Hotel Mead with an appearance at 6:45. You can enjoy complimentary cookies and cocoa and get a picture with the celebrated couple. A young Packers fan was denied the prize he won Saturday at a 49ers invasion party at an Ashwaubenon sports bar. Lisa Hale has the story.
14-year-old Joseph De La Rosa, a Packers fan decked out in Packers gear, was at the party, a pregame tailgate hosted by the Niners Empire, a nonprofit fan organization for the 49ers. The eighth grader was with family members who were visiting from Las Vegas who are Niners fans. The boy's number was called to win the football, signed by 49ers running back Christian McCaffrey, who is also the NFL's Offensive Player of the Year. A Facebook video shows the group handling the giveaway, not awarding the football to De La Rosa, but opting instead to give it to a 49ers fan.
Obviously, you probably think pretty highly of your Packers, right? Can you just tell me what you think of the 49ers?
It doesn't matter!
De La Rosa was instead given a pair of sunglasses. There is some measure of justice, however, for De La Rosa. The 49ers organization is mailing him a signed helmet. The helmet is signed by safety Talanoa Hufanga, not McCaffrey.
I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. It's been a long road for the live-action version of Snow White, but there is now a release date in sight. The Disney flick has been in development since 2016 and was supposed to be released in 2024. Greta Gerwig wrote the script for the film, which stars Rachel Zegler and Gal Gadot. Snow White will hit theaters March 21st of 2025. Hollywood is full of crazy stories, and actor Josh Brolin has a doozy he shared in his new memoir, From Under the Truck. Brolin tells the story of when he met acting legend Marlon Brando. Brolin attended a dinner at his stepmother Barbara Streisand's house, along with John Travolta and Kelly Preston. Brolin recalled that Brando showed up with a bleeding leg because he stopped to pull someone from a mudslide on the way to the party. Travolta, a well-known Scientologist, noticed and told Brando he had just gotten to the next level as a Scientologist and said he could heal him. Brolin recalled watching Danny Zuko heal the Godfather, one of the most surreal of his life. It was surreal just reading that. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A cloudy sky tonight, couple of flurries and a low near 20. And more clouds around for tomorrow, scattered flurries and a high in the mid-20s. Colder with sunshine Friday, high only near 20. Staying cold for the weekend, even with sunshine, highs only in the low 20s. It's 24 right now.
Wisconsin women's basketball brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric, and Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, and streaming live on the Civic Media app.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today I've got some wonky terminology, so bear with me. I'm talking about credit utilization and how that affects your credit score. Credit utilization just means how much of your credit you're using. So let's say you have a $10,000 limit on your credit card. Now, lots of us think it's okay to spend up to that $10,000 every month as long as you pay it off in full at the end of the month. Well, it turns out the credit bureaus, these agencies that assign us our credit scores, they only want us to use maybe 10, 20, or maximum 30% of our credit limit each month. Like $1,000 to $3,000 tops if you've got $10,000 in credit. And your credit utilization counts for 30% of your total credit score. I don't love the rules, but knowing them helps us manage our credit scores the way we want to. For more about credit scores or just about getting good at money, check out my videos at Work Money Media on YouTube.
Maggie Dawn.
You're listening to a special pre-recorded Thanksgiving Day episode for you from the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy Thanksgiving!
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Wednesday, November 27th, 2024. Have your host, James J. Maloff, here, and we're welcoming in our great friends from the ODC. We have with us PR and Fund Development Manager Lisa Rouse is with us. Lisa, thank you so much for being here. Appreciate the time.
You bet.
And we have our friend Maddie DeVoe. Did I say that right, DeVoe?
You got
it good.
Right.
Got to get that right. Maddie, of course, a Milkweed Market Manager over there. We're going to be putting her to work today. We're going to talk to you a lot, Maddie. and the star of the show, David Buckman, is with us. David, always good to have you with us. Thank you for being here, sir.
It's a pleasure to
It's a pleasure to be with you today, James.
I appreciate the time from all of you. And I want to talk milkweed market, especially this time of year, with the excitement of the holidays and so many things that are going to help a lot of people out this Christmas. Me in particular. I'm specifically talking about myself. You guys save me every Christmas. Looking forward to all of that. But if you don't mind, having David in studio, I've got a... I talked about something with our staff, David. We made a decision. We don't have a head of jokes. We don't have a head joke teller around here. And this is, you know, this is a pretty tense job, and it gets pretty intense around here. We need to lighten things up every once in a while. We need some humor. So if you are willing to accept, we would like you to be our head joke teller around here. I feel like you're pretty good at the position. You've shown that you can excel at this position. I think you're qualified.
You know something, James? The first time that I was ever on the radio, I never told a joke before. Mm-hmm. I'm not very good at telling jokes.
Really?
No, I'm not.
Oh, okay, interesting. We'll talk. We'll see what we can do about that. But I do appreciate you being here, and in part, David, because you also work over at Milkweed Market. You how do you enjoy the work over there?
Speaking of that,
yeah,
I did a little homework around my house last night, so in case the home audience is listening, okay, here are some of the things that I like about ODC. Some of the things that I like about ODC are volunteering at the milkweed market, at the hospital, and going on outings. I enjoy working with my friends Lisa and Maddie. They are such good friends.
Yeah. So, I appreciate that, David. You're a fantastic worker and an amazing volunteer.
And I might add, Carla is one of the best people at ODC that I've ever known.
That's especially going into Thanksgiving, David. That's a perfect way to start this segment. Thank you for that. Yeah, and great to hear. Those are great things that you mentioned there. Thank you for doing the homework for the interview. I appreciate that, David.
Yeah,
thank you.
I worked on those last night.
Yeah, hey, you did some good work there. I appreciate it, David. We'll be talking to you more, Dave. We'll be talking to you more, sir.
All right,
Maddie. I want to dive right into Milkweed Market by the River. This is a fun one, and can you tell the audience about this?
Yeah, so we have been at the gift shop in Aspirus here in Wisconsin Rapids for about a year now, and it's a volunteer site for all of our day service at ODC to come and just be in the community and get some customer service skills, help them just get to know the community, and especially at Aspirus with the staff and nurses there. They're so wonderful. It's an amazing opportunity there. I absolutely love it.
The environment seems almost tailor-made for something like this, too.
Oh, absolutely. Super laid back, and especially, you know, meeting David, you know, these people that we work with are just a joy to be around. And so being in a hospital environment and just having that joy just somewhere within reach is always wonderful.
What kind of gifts are over there? What kind of services are available through
them? Absolutely. So we sell the typical gift shop, you know, balloons, gift baskets, things like that nature, baby gifts. But then we also have that milkweed touch of like homemade decor. A lot of the stuff that we make at Milkweed you can find at the gift shop as well, which is super awesome. There's a lot of random things that you can find at a gift shop. And I think that's the consensus I hear from everyone that shops there is every gift shop is very unique in its own way. And Milkweed by the River is just like that.
And for the audience to know, too, there are options for you to be able to purchase things through there online, keeping that in mind as well for people that may not be stopping by there, but maybe see some of the items that are available.
Absolutely. So we have a Facebook page, Milkweed by the River, and then through our website milkweedmarket.com you can also find Milkweed by the River through there, and then all the different options that we have available online too.
Certainly giving another store gives for more opportunity for income, mm-hmm. and certainly helping that, and we understand as a nonprofit how much that can help the ODC and benefit the ODC, so that's just business 101. But you touched on something that I just wanted to stick with just for a moment, mm-hmm. and the environment and the opportunity for the clientele to be able to work in that place. Mm-hmm.
I don't want to say it. I feel like if I say it's a safe place, that means that there's some that aren't. I don't want to say it that way because I feel like all areas are safe for Milkweed Market and the clientele there and everything. Mm-hmm. But this one just seems really, really set for it. Have you seen that? Have you seen the clientele excel there with that and enjoy the job, enjoy the atmosphere?
Absolutely. So I definitely have some regulars that like coming to the gift shop, like David here. He knows people that work at the hospital, and so it's always fun to see him strike up conversations in the hallway. Some other clients that don't normally are not very communicative, but they excel at doing customer service. So, like, scanning items in and making sure that they're bagged carefully, which is not a skill that you find too often, especially around the holidays now.
That's true.
So seeing them excel at something that you wouldn't think that they would is fantastic. It really makes my job worth it.
It's a really great way to put it, too. It's well said. And I can only imagine. Like, just hearing it, I feel really good. I can't imagine actually seeing it and being a part. It's got to feel really good. Mm-hmm. Can you give us the hours and the times of when a Milkweed Market by the River is open?
Sure. So normally we are going to be open Mondays and Tuesdays. We're there 10 to 2:30. This is when we have our volunteer tiers from day service at ODC come in. Wednesday through Friday, we're open 9:30 till 2, and this is when Project Search at Aspirus will actually run the gift shop for us. So another opportunity for these interns to get hands-on customer service experience and retail experience.
And we have a Appreciation Week coming up.
Indeed, yeah. So we're actually going to be doing about a 15% discount for all Aspirus staff. So all those regulars that come in and buy our goodies, we'll be there for you.
That's really cool. That's a nice tip of the hat, too, especially this time of year. It's a nice way to be doing that.
Absolutely.
And given that it is this time of year, we do want to let everybody know that the Milkweed Market by the River will be closed for a couple of days for the holidays.
Correct. Yeah, we'll be closed this week, Thursday and Friday, but we will be back open next week, so no worries in getting those last-minute Christmas ideas and stuff like that. And then at the main store, Milkweed Market at ODC, we will be open for Black Friday. We'll actually be open later till 5 p.m. And then we'll also be open on Saturday, which is Small Business Saturday. So support your local community. We got that bingo by a Chamber of Commerce going on. Mm-hmm. So stop on in, get your sheet filled out.
Yeah. And while you're there, bring a basket, bring a truck, bring something that can carry a lot of items, because you may go in there and think, and Maddie and I are going to talk about some of the cool items and some of the local businesses that are a part of Milkweed Market. But even before that, you know, if you've even heard of, let alone stepped foot in Milkweed Market, there's a lot of stuff there. And it is, I don't have this happen at department stores, but I go there, I'm going to get this one item, and then I see that, or I see this, or the, you know, something else. There's, I don't know of another store where you walk in and you're going to find more unique items.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That alone, I think, is a great draw to Milkweed Market. But I think one of the things that this community really appreciates about Milkweed Market is certainly the idea of it. Having this business that is made for these clientele and helps them excel and helps them put into the community and shows the community how important these individuals are to our community and everything. All of the above, that is fantastic. But you guys go above and beyond. It's not just that, but you're also helping other local businesses and other locals, and it's local supporting local. It's a very unique thing and a very cool thing to be able to see, Maddie.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. Like, some of my favorite things is with our production of, like, creating those snowflakes that you find in our store, or all of, like, the hand-painted things. So I work with clients that work on painting those things, and there's nothing that makes me happier than when they're talking to a customer like, I made this, and they have so much pride when that item goes into a shopping bag and out the door.
Let's go ahead and remind people, or maybe let people know about some of the great local things and local items that are available there. There's Cinder's Creations. I wanted to mention them.
Yeah, so she makes these beautiful wood-dyed flowers. Mm-hmm. They're super nice. You never have to water them, and they're not going to die on your counter. So
nice.
Super nice around the holidays when you're super busy and don't have time to be watering your plants. So she does amazing things. We also have
Pittsville Pottery?
Pittsville Pottery we have as well. It's a beautiful handmade items, and they're very unique. And there's even, like, some matching sets, so you could really do someone up special with their pottery. And then we also have, what is it? Keep It.
Smith and Company?
Oh, I was going to talk about, obviously, Kelsey. Mm. So she makes greeting cards. So if you have cards that you need to be sending out for the holidays, we got you covered there. Beautiful hand-drawn pictures, hand-painted pictures. We also have Smith & Co. candles. So any beautiful scents for the winter times. You want to make your house smell nice, including with all the food cooking.
Mm-hmm. And they got a wide variety of candles. So like waxes, candles, all the above. Yeah.
Sprays.
Oh, yeah, sprays, yeah.
Great things.
How about Terry G merchandise? What do they do?
So we have a couple macrame items in there. So if you're giving away some of those Christmas cactuses and you need somewhere to put it hanging up out of the reach of your pets, got you covered there.
Nice, nice.
And then with that, we also have Beekmans. So if your mom or grandma watches QVC, HSN, they've probably heard of Beekman, which is a wonderful goat lotion. Same pH as our skin, so it doesn't dry you out and doesn't make you greasy.
It's the only lip balm my family uses.
Oh, it's the only perfect for winter time. Yeah. So if you need a good stocking stuffer, that is a good one to go for.
That's a good note. I always feel like I never find good stock. Like, I need those help. I need that help. The stocking stuffer thing, I'm horrible at. I need the help with that.
Well, we got you covered with some ruby reds as well as the Vandewalls. Like, we got some of those chocolate-covered cranberries that are so so good. And then as well as some gourmet caramels and caramel corn. So definitely stop in, fill up the stocking with those guys, or, you know, just buy a couple bags for yourself.
Yeah. At least one for them, one for you. It's just safer to do it that way. Yep. Big shout out to Ruby Reds. We appreciate our friends over there. And with all of those great things, there's also self-employed employment items to touch on.
Yep. So like I mentioned before, obviously Kelsey has her own card business. We also have Jennifer's pet beds and other pet items. So really, really nice little pet beds. She's got those snuffles that you put your treats in. So when the dogs are really begging at that turkey right now, it's a good time to throw some treats in that snuffles and just distract them. And then we also have Katie's Corner, who does jewelry. Really, really cute stuff. Again, fantastic stocking stuffers for the little ones.
Mill Creek Cutlery. I want to mention that too.
So that's a new one this year. So he makes charcuterie boards. Some beautiful, beautiful cutting boards. They're really, really cool. He harvests the wood on his own land. He does all the work himself, and then he sells them in our store. And I could not be more of an advocate for that.
And there's something for one, and it's a great example, because there's an item that's becoming more and more popular, those charcuterie boards, more and more people are doing those, and there's a lot of options, a lot of ways you can get them, but you're not going to find anywhere else where you can get something that is that unique, and that has the local ties to it that it does. So a year, 2 years from now, when you're using that board, and you're looking at it, and you're getting ready for your Thanksgiving, you can look at that and think, oh, that's the board I got at Milkweed Market. That board was made by a local that put back and stayed into my community. The good feelings that come from these items don't stop. It keeps happening. And I know this because it happens to me and my family all the time. Did you have something, Lisa? Sorry.
I totally agree with you. There's something to be said about doing the local thing and supporting the local people. And whenever you use those things that you know that you've done that. There are the big box stores, but there is something about supporting the people that are local that is it's a neat thing, and it's unique.
Looks like we have a sale going on with last minute fall items.
Absolutely. So any of the fall stuff that we still have in store right now is 50% off. As well as any of the furniture we have for sale, which is some beautiful Amish-made furniture from Augusta. And that is going to be 30% off. So if you need a space to fill, you need some places to put more decorations, we got you covered there.
And the store hours, given the holidays and everything, just we'll let everybody know when you guys are open for these.
Yeah, so Black Friday, we'll be open 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., so a little bit later than normal. And then Saturday, we'll be open 10 a.m. till 3 p.m.
And you guys do holiday cookie and candy orders as well.
Indeed. So if you go on to milkweedmarket.com, you can actually put in your orders for your holiday. And we have our cookie pickups are going to be December, I want to say 4th, and then December 18th.
Yeah.
And these are fresh baked. They are from the Cookie Jar, I believe, a new mm-hmm. business opening up. I just saw their building. There's them putting the sign up the other day and everything. I saw Cookie Jar, and I'm a big cookie guy. Yeah. So I just got so excited about that and everything. That is a very very cool thing to see in the community and a great another local business.
No, they've been super supportive of us since the beginning. So since we've opened up the gift shop, they've actually been offering their baked cookies there the whole time. So we still will be selling Cookie Jar cookies at the gift shop as well as at our main store as well.
And you can find out how to orders, get your pre-orders mm-hmm. in at milkweedmarket.com. We'll make sure to mention that again before we wrap up. But what are these assortments of? What are the assorted cookies? What does that include?
Sure. So her cookies, M&M Christmas cookies, dip molasses, which I'm a huge molasses fan.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
She did a fantastic molasses cookie. Snickerdoodles, peanut butter blossoms, snowballs, frosted round snowmen, peanut butter melts, which are gluten-free, and Nutter Butter Santas and Fluffer Nutters. For the candies she's doing are going to be white chocolate dipped pretzels, turtles, dark chocolate peppermint bark, Buckeyes, cookie dough truffles, and coconut snowman and Rolo pretzels.
And you guys brought samples, right? You brought No.
I think they're out in the car melting right now. In this cold temperature. They're melting in the car.
After the interview, we'll go and talk. You can't blame me for trying. Yeah, I mean, right? It just sounds so good. There's so many great items here.
Hey, James, I didn't know you were a big cookie fan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, big. Like, half my weight is cookies. Like, it really is. Those are great items. Again, milkweedmarket.com is where you can get your pre-orders in for those, everybody. And keep that in mind, as we mentioned, that the Milkweed Market, the ODC itself, will also be closed for Thanksgiving holiday Thursday and Friday. There will be no electronic recycling on November 27th as well. Is that okay? So just catching that up, making sure the audience is aware of that, Lisa. And certainly, as we're wrapping up here, I did want to put a big thank you to the community out there, not just from the ODC, but we also, as a community, want to say thank you to the ODC and what we're thankful to you, the staff, the clients over there. So I'm flipping it right back at you, Lisa, as well.
We appreciate so much the support that the community gives us, and we just sent out our annual appeal. It is our biggest fundraiser of the year, and we got a little bit of help from Jeremy Johnson in Marshfield. He had put out this call to employees and talked about how we're not just employees of Opportunity Development Center, but we're opportunity developers, and we loved that theme. And we took that theme and we ran with it for our annual appeal. And all the things that we develop at Opportunity Development Center, and from employees to volunteers to staff to projects to businesses, all of that stuff, we go to work every day and we're developers. And we love that idea. So. And we could not do any of that stuff without the people that support us every single day. So in this time of Thanksgiving, we just want to say thank you to all the people that support us every single day.
And it is not surprising to see the amount of people that talk about the ODC and support the ODC, in major part because you of again going back to what I was starting the interview with, the above and beyond that you guys do and the work that gets done and the decades that has been done by the ODC.
Yeah.
We've got generations that grew up in this area that have seen this.
Yeah.
You know, since they were kids, they've seen the ODC, they've seen the clients from the ODC, they've made something that is very difficult to do on paper. You pulled off. You've normalized so many things for so many, including myself and my family, as I've mentioned many times. This is something that it doesn't take 6 degrees of separation to find somebody that has been impacted by the ODC in this area.
It is so true. Mm-hmm.
It speaks to the work that you individuals do, that the clients like David do there and everything, and how much this city is so much better and richer thanks to the ODC. And it's part of the reason why we encourage you to invest in the ODC and donate to the ODC. You can do that many different ways. We've told you a billion of them right now with the Milkweed Market and some of that. That's an investment. Buying those items, that's helping out local individuals, that's helping out the ODC.
Yes.
And there's certainly things like you were just touching on with the national camp, the week, what you guys do here with raising donations and everything. So there's all of that. Now, as we wrap up, we want to give some more thanks to congratulations to Julie Strenn.
Yeah, so Julie won a national award. So she was at down in Wisconsin Dells, and the Wisconsin Board for People with Developmental Disabilities honors individuals that go above and beyond to improve the lives of people with disabilities. And Julie is definitely one of those advocates. And she won an award for that with the 2024, I got to find the award name. I can't think of what the award name is.
It looks like it is a gratitude award.
Oh, the Die Hard Advocate Award.
Is that
And she won that award, and that is for going above and beyond just the normal things that people do. And she, Julie, is definitely one of those people. When you die hard, that pretty much sums up her everyday life. If you know Julie, that sums up everything she does every day. So she won that award, and we are so proud of her at ODC.
Yeah, and we second that. We're very proud of her. Really appreciate Julie. Great talker, great person to have.
Yeah.
Please say congratulations to her for us. And you all, thank you so much for being here today. Thank you. David, do you have some?
I have one other thing that I would like to talk about before we wrap up the show. On December the 3rd, I'm going to be starting a new job down at the community theater. So my hours down there will be twice a week on Monday and Tuesday. So I just wanted to let the radio audience know that I'll be starting on the 3rd of December. So that's all I really have.
That's great.
That's all I really have to talk about. So. Thank you for your time, James.
Absolutely, David. You're welcome anytime. And I'm happy to hear that. That's my second home. That's my second home over there at WRCT. I'll meet you over there.
Community theater?
Yeah. I live over there pretty much. So I'll see you there, sir.
You do, huh?
Yep. I'll meet you over there, David. Thank you for the time. Maddie, Lisa, thank you so much for everything you guys put into the community. Say hi to the staff over there for us, and you guys have a great Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Well.
Fantastic
thank you.
And safe holiday.
Me too. Big thank you to all of our guests throughout the week here at Midday Magazine, and of course, a special thank you to Pam Hilke, the soul of WFHR, the heart of this station. We appreciate you, Pam. Great work, as always. Have a good Thanksgiving, everybody, and we'll be back with more Midday Magazine for you next week right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
James Rundy.
I decided to throw off all my wild and crazy short film ways and make a straight up documentary about my uncle. He was one of the small time dairy farmers across the state that were kind of the backbone and why we got our state's name, America's Dairyland.
It was called The Last Milk. Have you ever milked a cow?
Oh yeah.
I'm curious, but I'm scared to do it because I'm worried I might like it.
All right. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Jane Matinere and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Matt Rothschild is going to be sitting in the big chair to break down all the news with analysis and humor. Don't miss it.
Matinere on air, weekday mornings at 10. The Maggie Dawn Show.
His name's Jeff Mandel, general counsel for Law Forward.
Mr. Gableman broke more ethics laws and rules than he followed. The attorney's oath here in Wisconsin is fairly long. Mr. Gableman had, in the course of the sham investigation into the 2020 election, violated every single sentence in that oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Trevi Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project.
We as individuals need to be far better in terms of getting the tools we need to have the conversations. You're never going to shame someone out of their political beliefs.
Yes.
You're never going to get them with talking points.
You nailed it. And I think that that's what some of our friends on the left don't get. And I think it's destructive and it's not beneficial.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Lena Bloom for the Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail, and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
His name's Jeff Mandel, general counsel for Law Forward.
Mr. Gableman broke more ethics laws and rules than he followed. The attorney's oath here in Wisconsin is fairly long. Mr. Gableman had, in the course of the sham investigation into the 2020 election, violated every single sentence in that oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.